Yeah. Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I am your host, Joseph Ward. And for right now, I'm riding solo, but it's all good. Shout out to Patrick Irvin and shout out to Jamie. You know, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at the black community, aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.freedomtrainradio.com so you can get more information about PAX Inc., learn more about the codes of conduct and everything that they have going on. Also, you can visit PAXInc.org and get your copy of the Independence Day Project put together by Professor Carl Tone Jones. So that's a great film that's sweeping through the black community. So make sure you go out there and get your copy, www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You learn more about myself, Jay, Patrick, the whole Freedom Train family, Professor Carl Tone Jones, Erica, all the ladies for tea time, and all the new shows we got coming up. Remember our weekly lineup. Every Monday you get this Fix Sports podcast. Every Wednesday you get the Freedom Train podcast series and the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tobin. Every Thursday you get the Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin as he breaking down documentaries, movies, documents, whatever, magazines, whatever. Patrick like breaking down all that stuff. So you get all that. That's the Freedom Train lineup. And like I said, just stay tuned for everything new that we got going on. So what I want you to do for this episode, go ahead and put on your workout clothes. Get you a headband and some wristbands. Get you a towel and some water because it's about to go down because we have Ms. Rashida A. Marshall who's going to be in here giving us some information about her journey within the health and fitness world and the way that she does it. So we interviewed her about 2 years ago. The last interview exactly was February 4, 2016. So this is our follow-up interview. And she is the owner and the founder of Afia Magazine, which is a holistic well-being magazine for today's cultural and professional women. She's also the owner and founder of Skillfully Sculpted Health and Fitness. She's a professional fitness competitor who's never finished less than third place. She's been out here doing her thing for about five or six years, I believe, as far as in that realm of health and fitness. She has an actual degree in exercise science from Florida State University, so she didn't just wake up one day and say, I want to be a personal trainer. She also is a certified personal trainer. She's a nutritionist. She can write you out some meal plans. Whatever you need in the realm of health, Ms. Rashida Marshall has got it. So what I need is my homeboy in a little shirt and everybody in the audience to get up and put your hands together for Ms. Rashida A. Marshall.
Hello.
Yeah. What's going down?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? Welcome to the Freedom Train. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. It's been a minute.
It has, yes. I'm excited to share more information and kind of get updated on things. So.
Hey, man, you already know. So, you know, we have some fun and we like to learn at the same time. So
yes.
Let's do this. So the first question, basically, you know, want to give a refresher for those who may not have heard from you in a while, but for also those who do not know you, who have never heard of Rashida A. Marshall, who've never heard of Skillfully Sculpted or Fear Magazine, can you give our audience a background information about yourself and what led you to creating a Fear Magazine?
Yes, absolutely. So, yes, again, my name is Rashida A. Marshall. I am originally from South Florida. Attended Florida State University, and as you mentioned earlier, I majored in exercise science. Always kind of had a thing for health and wellness, so I figured that would be one of the best things to focus my attention towards while I was in school. And then after graduating and, you know, working different health and wellness jobs, kind of as a health educator and working in the health department with different positions and kind of dabbling in fitness training and group fitness exercise and things like that a bit more. Eventually, I wanted to find a way to share information, share health information, excuse me, on a larger scale, because I'd always been into health and wellness and kind of sharing stuff with other people. So I had a newsletter that I was running, and I would send that out to my personal training clients just as a way to motivate them and keep them encouraged, and keep them focused on what they were working towards during the times when we didn't see each other. And the newsletter, it was small at the time. I just would include maybe a health and wellness blog or something along the lines that I would write. I would feature a healthy food or a healthy meal, right, or recipe, and I would include a motivational quote or something that was inspirational. And so I was doing that for a while, and I really enjoyed the creative process of piecing it together. And you know, it didn't matter how many people opened the newsletter or whatever the case was. It was really cool to create something like that and know that it would reach whoever needed to see it at that time. And so the idea just came to me to turn it into something larger, something that could hold more information, that could reach more people, and grow to be bigger than what the newsletter was. So the idea of a magazine is what came to me. And I just, from there I reached out to the right people, and I did my research on, how to start a magazine and what steps I would need to take and who I would need to have on the team in terms of helping to piece it together. And so I just kind of, took one step after the other and figured out what to do. And then before you know it, I had a FIA magazine, and I decided to focus it on health and wellness for African-American women, simply just, being a black woman and having seen the women that I had worked with and learned from. I wanted to kind of provide more exposure of, African-American women in this field and the knowledge that we have, and also reflect our experiences as it relates to health and well-being, through the publication.
Okay. So what initially led to your health and wellness journey? Because you're telling us how you created the magazine. You're telling us that you decided to study exercise science in college. But let's just, I didn't even know exercise science was a major, right? So the average young black, especially young black person, not really walking around saying, I want to study exercise science. So how did you actually get into health and fitness, and why is that something that is of interest to you?
Well, growing up, it's always been something that was a natural interest of mine. So I just always remembered, being into health and wellness topics, and, if something was on TV that related to exercise, for instance, an infomercial for, one of those fitness DVDs, or if they were talking about a certain exercise machine, and if I would be reading a magazine and I would see, a health and wellness article, I was always drawn to those things. So it was just something that was a part of me growing up, an interest that I always wanted to explore further and learn more about. And then when I got to Florida State, I initially was going to major in biology, because at that time I thought I wanted to be a doctor. So I was going to major in biology, and even before school started, I looked at the academic map for biology, and I was not interested in anything that they listed. None of the classes, went along the lines of what I wanted to spend 4 years learning about. And so I just kind of looked at what other majors there were that would tailor to my interests and still allow for me to possibly pursue medical school if that was the route that I decided, completely to take. And then I came across exercise science, and I saw that they would go into anatomy and physiology and how to, put together exercise routines and exercise programs for your clients, and learning about nutrition and how the metabolism works and all of that. And all of that that sounded really, really intriguing to me. So I decided to choose that as my major, knowing that I had already had an initial interest in those things before going to university. So that was what sparked me to select the major. It was definitely challenging. If there's anyone who is interested in exercise science and, you know, is looking towards doing that, it definitely was a challenge, but it's completely worth it if you, you know, if that's something that you're truly drawn to, because you're able to learn a lot about the human body and nutrition and how fitness and all those things kind of play together. So, you know, I really was glad that I decided to focus my time at FSU on that particular major.
All right, so what did your parents say when you told them that you was going to major in exercise science?
Yeah, I mean, my my dad was, you know, he was cool with it. He said, you know, if that's something that you're interested in, then choose it. My mom just wanted to make sure that it allowed me to take the same, you know, prerequisite, so that I would be able to do what I wanted to do with having that major. So they were both supportive. They just encouraged me to make sure it was the right choice and, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, they allowed me to do it, and they knew it's what I wanted to, you know, kind of focus on. So
That was their first time hearing about that too, huh?
That major, yeah. Like, what?
They like, what? Nah, you trying to pull one on us, huh? You trying to go on up there and be one of them. I don't know what you're going to do. All right, so so A Field magazine gives information about health, exercise. But can you give us some more information about, like, the content, more content, the other content that you display in your magazine? Like, if I open up the magazine, I understand it's a health and wellness magazine, but what else does the magazine offer?
Yes. So when I decided to piece it together, I wanted it to be more than just let me rephrase. So normally when we hear health and wellness, you know, or health and, you know, well-being or whatever the case may be, we automatically will think of fitness and nutrition. And we sometimes box it in to those two particular topics. And I wanted it to be something that encompassed all of the aspects that help for us to be healthy, you know, from a well-rounded perspective. So even when I chose the name for the magazine, you know, I chose the name Afia is a Swahili name, which means complete physical, spiritual, and emotional well-being, you know, or goodness, right, or complete wellness, however you want to phrase it. So I wanted the magazine to mirror that, you know, and live up to the name of the publication. So it's not only going to have fitness and nutrition, but you're going to be able to read articles that deal with how to maintain your mental and emotional health and keep that part of you, healthy, how to deal with, you know, love and relationships and family and things of that nature so you can maintain healthy relationships in your life. You're going to be able to read about inspirational stories as it relates to health and wellness so that it can be something that will kind of motivate you to, you know, have a different perception of towards what it is you're working to and how to accomplish your goals. You know, we also talk about like hair, skin, and nails and how to keep that part of you, you know, healthy and beauty regimens that you can include into your lifestyle. So we try to touch on a lot of those things. And then as of recently, we've added some more things. I now have a new business partner. Her name is Tiffany Hill, and she's been awesome, you know, in terms of giving me more ideas, for us to share more ideas from a creative standpoint as to how to build the publication. So she advised that we add, you know, other things that women are also interested in outside of health and wellness, but being able to put a health and wellness spin on it. So, for instance, if we feature a makeup artist or a hairstylist or something along those lines, and then have those particular features talk about, you know, healthy makeup products and healthy makeup techniques, and if you're caring for your hair, what's the best way to keep your hair healthy and strong? And if you're going to color it, what's the best way to make sure that you don't damage your hair and things like that? So we've been able to also tie in topics such as those and just share, you know, the best way to implement these things or these new lifestyle habits or whatever the case is into your life, but not in a way that's going to be detrimental to your health and well-being. So there's a lot of information people can find if they flip through it. Try to cover all bases.
So how do you go about finding new topics under these, like these, I guess you could say these groups, like health and wellness, like fitness, like lifestyle, healthy relationships? Mm-hmm. How do you go about finding fresh material under these headings without, you know, constantly repeating the same message over and over again? Because I know that that's a challenge.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different ways to, you know, kind of address a particular topic, depending on what it is that you want your readers to know and to gain from the article. So, of course, mm-hmm. there are many topics that will come up in different issues, whether it be talking about diabetes or, you know, dealing with depression or how to improve your mental health or how to include weight training into your workout regimen. You know, there's many different ways to kind of touch on those topics. The contributors that we've been able to work with the publication, you know, have been very knowledgeable in their particular fields of expertise, so that helps with gaining a different view of a topic and hearing how they can put their spin on it and educate readers, you know, based on what they know. And then also, just as I mentioned again, addressing it from a different angle. So say if we're talking about depression and how to deal with depression, you can discuss it from a physical fitness standpoint in terms of how exercise can help to, you know, alleviate some of the side effects or things that come about during, you know, during depression, or, you know, how yoga can benefit those who are dealing with depression, and how there are certain foods that you can implement into your diet that help to improve your energy levels and your mental clarity and your mood and things like that. So we try to, you know, just kind of tackle it from different points of view in different issues, that you can see that there isn't just one way to do things. You know, there's not one way to do weight training or one type of workout and things like that. So normally we kind of come at it from that way, and then also looking at what it is that, you know, our readers would want to learn about, based on who we're writing the magazine for and who's reading it. So we try to find out what are some topics that readers are interested in learning more about and things of that nature, so we can also include those into the issues moving forward as well.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because it's just, I do my African history blog, but mine is different mm-hmm. because it's
yeah.
millions of people I get to choose from, but being able to
yeah.
do that magazine. So, you know, hats off to you for that. So,
thank you.
So, I want to talk about impact and
mm-hmm.
the impact that you and your magazine is having or you want to have. So,
mm-hmm.
when you were able to look back, or even now, what type of impact do you want a Fear magazine? Not just the magazine, but you yourself. What type of impact do you want you and your magazine to have on its readers and the communities that the magazine
mm-hmm.
houses?
Yes. Well, one of the biggest impacts I'd want it to have is kind of a, I guess you could say, inspirational. Not the exact word I want to say, but maybe an inspirational type of feel when women look at it, because of the images that are included in there, the individuals that we're able to have as, you know, contributors and as those who are featured in the publication, and then knowing that the topics and the information is, you know, geared towards the person who might be holding the magazine in their hands. I know I would look through a lot of different health and wellness publications growing up, and I, you know, there was a lot of great information in it, you know, and you could learn a lot of different things, but oftentimes I didn't see stories from other young ladies or women who look like me, and I didn't see the doc, you know, they would put a picture of who the doctor was or who the nutritionist was who was sharing the article, or, you know, whatever, you know, who the medical professional was who they referenced for the information, and it was never anyone, you know, who resembled what I look like. And I knew from my experience that there were, you know, a ton of women like that. You know, my mother's a nurse. I have many friends who are dietitians or who were going through medical school or recently completed medical school, and other fellow fitness professionals that I knew who were very skilled and knew their information. And also, on, you know, on the other end, women who had inspirational stories to share about health and wellness and information that other people could benefit from. So being able to put that in the magazine and then to see the reaction when, you know, a woman holds the publication and flips
right.
through it and sees, you know, the women who are included in the publication, and then also being able to see the quality of the information that is included. I just want it to be something where women can feel, you know, motivated to work towards what it is that they're working towards, whether it be a health and wellness goal or just a life goal in general, and then to feel proud of what they're seeing in the publication, especially during a time when there's a lot of images of Black women that aren't, you know, positive, and there's a lot of, you know, great things that we're doing that aren't so readily shared. through media. I want this to be something that flips that and shows us in a different light, and, you know, provides the education that can benefit whomever needs it at that time when they're seeing it.
Right. You got to tell your own story and show your own images and stop complaining about other people not doing it and do it yourself.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
So I want to flip that question a bit.
Okay.
What type of impact has this journey with the magazine, as well as being a fitness competitor and a personal trainer, what type of impact has your journey had on you?
Good question. I'll start with what came first, and what was first was, you know, it's been fitness and you know, doing the competitions and things like that. That occurred before the publication. And on that end, you know, especially when I started to do fitness competitions, that impact was a very I guess you could say it really helps to build up your sense of, I guess you could say, self-worth, and knowing that you're capable of achieving, you know, the goals that you set for yourself, you know, because doing fitness competitions and, excuse me, things of that nature was not something that I initially planned to do, and it was just something that I wanted to try. So I had to sit down and say, okay, in order for me to step out on the stage and, you know, look the way, you know, I need to look in order to place well, I have to commit to this diet. I have to, you know, commit to these workout plans and this workout schedule, and be willing to learn all of these different things that are going to help me to transform my physique. So to go from it just being an idea and a challenge and something I just wanted to try to actually getting on the stage and being able to do a good job and you know, walk off with trophies and stuff, you know, helped to assure me that, okay, I can do this. If I can do this, then there's other things that I know I can do if I just set my mind to it. So it kind of started there, and that's why when I decided to start the magazine, it was something where I kind of felt like it could be done, and it was because I, you know, had already started trying these new things for myself and seeing that things were working out well, and I just had to stay focused. So it's had an impact in terms of me feeling more, you know, confident in terms of trying new things and making the most out of the talents and the knowledge that I have and being able to create something of my own that can be beneficial for others. It kind of, you know, it sparks this fire within you to try to do more, excuse me, and to work off of and to work on the things that you're naturally talented at, because that helps for you to, you know, to shine more, and then you can help others because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know? So it's kind of had that type of impact on me. Like, I feel like I'm just moving in the right direction, and I'm not afraid to just try these things.
Feel better about yourself, huh?
Yes.
That's good. No, but that's important, because that self-esteem that you build, that self-confidence, that self-worth. Because we interview a lot of people on this network, and some people you can hear the self-confidence spewing out of them when they talk. And so it's refreshing to be able to hear that, but it's refreshing to have. I like when people know that they live and they're not afraid to say it. Like, I'm good at what I do. I'm a great person. So it's always great to toot. I like people who toot their own horn. Some people don't like that, but I like that, because it's good to know that you're confident in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
and you know, and it takes time for everyone to kind of, you know, build.
Yeah,
you know,
it do.
So it's been a journey, of course, to get to a point where I can say, okay, I got it. All right, let me try something else. You know, that was definitely a journey, but it helps now to know that even if it's not the right step at that time, you know, knowing that I tried and I put my, you know, my effort into it, and I maybe just have to figure out a different route next time. So, you know, it helps on that end too.
Right. I mean, but once again, that's what growth is about. That's what life is about. That's what learning is about. That's what helps. That's a part of success stories. If you never go through that, you'll never be successful. If you're afraid to lose, you're not going to win.
Yes.
So. All right, so I'm going to ask this because I know everybody want to ask this. And one of the reasons why I'm asked this is because with your magazine, similar to this podcast, you have a lot of people who feel like they should be in your magazine because they do something that they feel like is great to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they might not always be good for your magazine. So how do you go about choosing the people that you display on the cover of your magazine? And what impressed you about the people you have chosen thus far to be on your magazine cover?
Yeah. So we definitely, you know, there are so many people to feature. I'll definitely start off by saying that, you know, and it's always, you know, hard sometimes because the magazine is at this point right now just bi-monthly. So we have 6 issues a year instead of 12. And it's like, you want to feature so many people, but you can't. You know, but we definitely look for individuals who are doing something positive. That's always first and foremost. Like, what are they contributing? And everyone, you know, everyone's doing something different. So, but we look for people who are contributing something that is positive, you know, to the community. Definitely women who can represent a woman who is, you know, confident with in terms of working towards what it is that she feels that she has to offer to the world, and someone who is dedicated to that particular, you know, service or product or task or vision that she has and has continuously worked on it. And you can see that exuded through the products of her work, you know, or even that company's work, however it is, whether it's one person or multiple people. So we try to look for things such as that. And then, you know, women who have, you know, a story that can help to maybe spark that interest in readers, you know, like get them a little curious about maybe starting their own business or working towards that major health and wellness goal that they have that they've kind of been a little hesitant on, or starting to, you know, do that particular volunteer or community service project that they've wanted to do, you know, something that woman can share that can kind of be like, wow, I'm glad that I heard that because now I feel ready to do X, Y, and Z. So, you know, I would say every woman or every, you know, group or business duo, business partner duo, or whatever the case may be that we've been able to feature, it's been something like that, you know. And I could go down the list of all the amazing individuals who have been featured, but the one thing that they've all had in common is that they had a vision, or they had something at the end of the line that they knew they needed to put out, you know. And it's very inspiring to hear the different hurdles and the struggles and maybe minor setbacks that they had to overcome, but they knew that this was something they were either supposed to be doing, they were meant to do it, their community needed it, whatever the case was, and they kept going. And you know, that's always something that's very impactful, because you know, you kind of think that even though of course all of our journeys are very different and we've all gone through something different, on the flip side of that, it's pretty similar in terms of the types of experiences and the types of life lessons that you have to learn throughout the process of, you know, creating and building and, you know, giving birth to, you know, whatever it is that you have, you know, in your head. So that's always a good feeling to know, like, wow, okay, look at where she is, or look at where they are. And they're no different from, you know, you and I. They're no more special and no less special. We're all capable of attaining that greatness, and the people who've been on the cover have been examples of that, you know, if you just stay focused and stay on the course that's meant for you. That's another thing that I've always recognized, that these women knew that there was a course meant for them, and they didn't deviate from that so quickly. You know, they were patient, or they, you know, worked hard, or whatever the case was, and they put their own special uniqueness and characteristics into what they were doing, so they never lost sight of who they are and what they're trying to create. So that's always been very motivating.
Okay. People, I hope you're listening, and I hope you're paying attention, because don't just be calling, hitting me up, talking about I want to put me down with the magazine because you just started baking cookies or whatever, because you sing or whatever. Like, y'all be impactful for the community and something that's that doesn't just feed your ego. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but I think that's good though. But now you done had some. I can't even get my words out. That's how excited I am. But you done had some slamming, and I'm using '90s slang. Now you done had some real slamming magazine covers.
We've had some really good ones.
The one that's out now, Tiffany Hill, like that's hard. Who created that? Who did that? Who did that cover? Because that's hard.
Yes. So our most recent cover, our January, February cover, does have Tiffany Hill. And I mentioned her a bit earlier, but Tiffany Hill is the creative director for FIA Magazine. We recently started working together, and I've been really, really, really excited to, you know, be partnering with her because she's helped to transform the magazine in many ways and has also educated me just on a business side. On a lot of different things as it relates to running the publication. But she is on the cover. We wanted to officially introduce her to our readers and things like that, and also talk about what she has going on outside of FIA Magazine, which is being the CEO of a walking brand, and she helps to coordinate and plan events. So we have her on the cover, and she has a good friend who's also a graphic designer named Shannon McCoy. And Miss McCoy was the individual who designed that cover. She did a fantastic job. When we saw it, we were like, oh my goodness, we love this. The colors really pop out on it. Just had a different look. We've tried many different things with the magazine, and it's always cool to see how they vary but all still look good. So this was something new to our eyes, and we really, really like this. So we appreciate Shannon for piecing that together. It looks really great.
Yeah, because that one was hard. All of them hard.
Yeah.
But like the ones that to me that kind of stood out was the one with Tiffany Hill on it. The one with the mothers, the Mel and the Mothers meet.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Yeah.
The one with you, you and the young lady reaching back and holding each other's arms.
Yes, Ona Hawk. Mhm.
Yeah. So and like I said, all of them, but those are like some of them that stand out to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the pictures of them now, and I just think that you know, a lot of time and attention and detail is going into these covers, because I was scrolling through Instagram earlier and I came across this magazine, and I was just, you know, I'm not that graphic stuff. That is not what I do. I'm a talk. I talk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right, but I looked at the cover and I was like, "Oh man, that looked like I did that." So
oh, no.
It's like, you know.
Yeah.
But
hats off to
what y'all got going on.
Yes, thank you. Now, I just knew when I pieced it, when I started the magazine, I just always wanted it to, be reflected well. And I've always been someone who was really paid a lot of attention to detail. So it worked out good, because when I'm looking at the covers and stuff like that, I point things out. Both Tiffany and I now, when we look at them, you know, we can catch little things and move something here and there, but we definitely want it to be something that catches the eye every issue.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. So you also branching out and expanding your media wings, if you will, and
mm-hmm.
a film magazine started to officially cover events as media and be able to go to the events, interview people, be able to write about the events after you leave the events. So
mm-hmm.
what events have you been able to cover so far? How did you
mm-hmm.
get in contact with the people to cover the events? And what are some of the future events that you have coming up?
Yes. So, yes, so far we've officially covered two in terms of actually being able to, you know, snap photos and, just as you said, have interviews with the hosts or get attendees and things like that, and featured in the magazine. So in December, we were able to cover an event titled The Reason for the Season, which was a holiday donation drive. And it was co-hosted by Christopher Play Martin of Kid and Play, and he was one of the hosts for the event. So my business partner, Tiffany, she was able to attend that one and, you know, be a part of it, and we were able to include it in the events section in our magazine and highlight what they were doing, which was really great. It was a nice evening networking mixer and things of that nature, where individuals were able to come and just enjoy a nice evening and donate gifts and things like that were going to be donated within the community. So we definitely we're glad to be able to feature that. And then recently in the beginning of January, we were able to cover Homeschooling in Color, which was an event put on by Nurturology and Melanin Mothers Meet here in town, or in Tallahassee. Right. And that was focused on promoting homeschooling options and, you know, how to start homeschooling and things like that, specifically for African Americans in terms of having that be another option for education for children. So there were two guest speakers who were there and talked about, you know, their experiences with homeschooling and what to think about when considering that, and how to start with building that and making that feasible for your family. And then there were also different vendors and things like that who were there. So we, again, did the same thing, snapped pictures and spoke to some of the people who were there. And then that will be featured in our March-April issue of the magazine. So, and we're looking forward to doing more. And we're glad to now be able to start doing that with the publication.
Okay, yeah, we had Yada on the train about 2 weeks ago, and she was telling us about that event and things. Yeah, so that's what's up. Yeah. And also, the guy, who is in Ghana, what was his name? Holmes, you
Dr.
know who I'm talking about. Yes, Dr. Samori. Guess who know him? Keith Turner know him.
Oh, cool. Okay.
He kind of know everybody, right?
Yes.
But so that's our mutual connection. I know we're working on getting him on the Freedom Train to talk about homeschooling stuff. So
okay,
I
cool.
I can tell him about
cool.
my own show, but that's what's
yeah.
Up.
He shares some really good information.
And you are Were you going to Martinique, Barbados? Which one of those islands you going
yes.
to?
Yes, we're also going to, in the beginning of March, we'll be able to go to Guadeloupe. There is going to, we were working with two yoga instructors who are in different areas. One of the young ladies, her name is Cassandra Akernison. She lives in Canada. She's in Montreal. And then Sylvia Desbroses, I hope I pronounced her last name right, Desbroses, I sometimes get it wrong. She is in Martinique, and they both are yoga instructors and health and wellness coaches, and they have teamed up to do a retreat. So it's called the Back to Life Natural Healing Retreat, and that will be in Guadeloupe from March 2nd to the 8th, and it is going to be a retreat that deals with holistic health and wellness, and they will be, you know, including daily yoga classes and healthy vegan meals and spa treatments and mindful meditation seminars and trips into the island, you know, to see different sites and landmarks and things like that. So they, you know, saw what we were doing with the Sia magazine and really liked the content that we were including and wanted for us to be able to, you know, share more about their event and, you know, provide full coverage of the event and share more about it afterwards. So we're really excited to be the media partner with these two ladies. We're excited to be able to be a part of this event in Guadeloupe and to really showcase what they've come together to do and offer and how beneficial it will be to the guests that they have coming along. And then to, you know, share more about it afterwards too, a greater in-depth look of the event after it's done. So we're really, really excited about that.
That's what's up. Guadeloupe. Shout out to Guadeloupe.
Yes.
All the way.
but
that's real cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's real cool to be able to expand your brand like that.
Yes.
Step out of your comfort zone and do something that you know that's not necessarily natural to you, but you're able to do it and you've taken it and you never, let's be real, 6 months ago, you ain't really think about going to Guadeloupe. But guess what?
Yeah.
You're going to Guadeloupe. So that's what's
exactly.
up.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. In the Caribbean, nice weather, and it'll be very healing. So I'm sure it'll be a great experience for the individuals who are going, you know, to experience the actual retreat and be a part of it. So
right.
It'll be great.
Right. All right. So in addition to Field Magazine, as we stated earlier when we was introducing you, you're also the founder of Skillfully Sculpted. So please tell us about Skillfully Sculpted, and you've already told us about how you got into fitness and health, but tell us more about Skillfully Sculpted.
Yes. So So Skillfully Sculpted is my business for fitness training.
and nutrition coaching. So I came up with the name simply because oftentimes when you're talking to someone about, you know, exercise or nutrition or things like that, sometimes, you know, it can kind of seem like it's a task or something that doesn't sound fun. You know, I think we've all gone through that point at some point with where you're just kind of, you know, your perception of exercise, like, oh, I got to do that, or, oh, I got to eat healthy, you know, so sometimes it's easy for us to fall into that place. But in terms of making nutrition, or excuse me, not nutrition, but health and wellness a lifestyle, you know, healthy living, you kind of have to make sure that you change the way that you view that part of your life, you know, and is it going to be something that's a task for you and something that you feel forced to do, or is it something that you want to do because you understand, you know, why it's so important for your life? So that's why I came up with the name. If you reshape your perception and your thought process, and it helps with being able to, you know, reshape your body and things like that and the current state of your health. So through Skillfully Sculpted, I offer one-on-one and small group personal training. And then I also do group fitness classes. So currently I lead a Caribbean cardio class and a yoga class in Tallahassee on a weekly basis. And then I also offer nutrition coaching. As a certified nutrition coach, I'm able to help individuals who are looking to reshape their diet, you know, need to lose, you know, those couple, you know, a few extra pounds, and they feel like their dietary habits are what's holding them back. So I'm able to give individuals ideas and some tips and guidance in terms of what would be the better eating habits to help them reach their goals. Things of that nature. So I truly enjoy doing that, you know, being able to work with my clients. And I work primarily with women, but I do have some men clients as well. So, you know, men are able to, I'm able to work with them as well. But it's really fun to start off with someone and to know, you know, what it is that they're trying to attain, and then to see that they're truly committed towards it. And then with, you know, with the coaching I'm able to offer, and then with them being comfortable with opening up to me and sharing, you know, what their challenges are and what their successes have been, and, you know, just kind of being open with sharing their life a bit, and helping them get to that point. It's really great right. to see the final product and know that you were a part of helping someone get there and
see transformation.
Yes, absolutely, through transformation. And you know, a lot of times, and I've even had clients share this, that it's not just a physical transformation. Like, yes, you go from a size 12 to a size 8 or whatever the case is, and, you know, you can fit your medium dresses versus large or small versus medium, and that's, you know, that's great, too, for that physical transformation. But I've also had clients express how it's, you know, helped them, you know, in their marriages. It's helped their energy levels, which has helped for them to, you know, be with their children more and entertain their children more, and that they become more productive at work, and they've been able to sleep better, and, you know, their self-confidence has gone up. So it's a lot more than that physical transformation sometimes. And you don't really know how much you're helping your client until they reach that point and share with you, like, how beneficial it's been for their lives. So it feels really good to know that someone lets you in and let you be a part of that with them.
Oh, yes. I mean, just to even take on that task, because to me, being a personal trainer is more than just you trying to look good in front of the world as if, hey, well,
yeah,
I can make people look sexy or something, because it's a holistic, it should be a holistic change that the person undergoes.
Yeah.
And if you're not focused on that, because, and the reason why I'm saying that, because we know now it's a whole lot of people that's just waking up one day and deciding they want to be a personal trainer because they got in shape themselves.
Yeah.
And somebody going to get hurt out here.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. Somebody's going to get hurt out here messing with people who just decided they want to become personal trainers and haven't really taken the art and the craft serious. It's like it's like being a stand-up comedian. You can't just wake up one day and say you're going to be a stand-up comedian. You're going to go on the stage and fail, and you're going to hurt yourself. But in personal training, you're going to mess around and hurt somebody else. So,
And I think, you know, and I think for those who – because, you know, for some people, that initial process of, you know, losing the weight and becoming healthier and seeing that they were able to do it, it can, you know, for some, it sparks that interest, you know, and individuals then, just as you mentioned, decide that they maybe want to get into that field. And if, you know, I definitely wouldn't encourage anyone who has chosen to take that step, you know, as a new chapter or a new career path, just to remember that it is, you know, it's individuals' lives that you're working with and things like that. So
right.
It's great to want to help others because of how it helped you. And just to remember to learn, you know, can be open to learning all that you can about the topic, you know, and you're going to work with a lot of different body types, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different, you know, schedules and, you know, different health and wellness conditions and things like that, that you have to know how to, you know, be able to work around and work with and deal with and things like that and still help that person get to where they're trying to go. So it's sometimes, yeah, just as you mentioned, it's more than just, oh, I'm going to help you, you know, get toned legs and build a strong back. It's, you know, how are you going to implement working out into your schedule and do you know the safe ways to do all of this so that you don't hurt yourself in the process and what can you do on your own and, you know, how are you going to take this information that I'm giving you and use it on your own when I'm no longer, you know, work, when we no longer work together or if you have to change, you know, your schedule and
all
things
right.
like that. So really making sure
right.
your clients are educated in that area too.
So let me ask this question for me because you just said about integrating working out into your schedule. I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I'm like
yeah.
real busy. And I'm like, it's always something to do. Now,
yeah.
I have a membership to Goals. That's
okay.
And Goals is 24 hours and it's up the street.
Okay. Okay.
I ain't been yet. But the issue is not the motivation to go. It's
yeah.
finding the time because, okay, the initial plan was I'm going to wake up in the morning, like 5 mm-hmm. in the morning, go to the gym. That ain't going to happen. So it's
yeah.
easier for me to go later in the night. So, like,
yeah.
what's the best way to be able to incorporate these late or these, like, maybe 9:30, 10:30, 11 o'clock workouts into my
yeah.
day and still be able to get enough rest that I need?
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, one thing that always has helped me and things that I've shared with others is first you have to make sure that you plan effectively for it, you know, and if you already know that your schedule is really tight, then you would want to make an effort to make sure you have everything in line in advance so that you can make it a seamless transition from work to the gym or from, you know, to the gym before going to work, whatever the case is. So whether it be packing, you know, all your clothes in advance, like for the week maybe, you pack a duffel bag that has 3 workout outfits with it, and you know that if you grab that bag at least 3 times out the week, everything that you need is going to be in there. And when you get off of work, you can say, okay, there's no reason for me to run back home, which is easy to go back home, and you sit down, and before you know it, you haven't got up for the last hour or two, you know. So having everything that you need with you to get your workout in right when the opportunity provides, you know, it becomes available. And, you know, putting it on your calendar like something else maybe, you know, blocking off that time and knowing that you're not going to fill it in with anything else. I think it's easy sometimes to put something on the calendar for ourselves and then an opportunity comes about where it's like, oh, I can interview this person at that time or I could go to this event at that time or I could do more work during this time. And it's easy to take off what you were going to do for yourself and fill it in with doing stuff for other people. And I think if you see it as, okay, no, from 6 to 7, every Tuesday and Thursday, I go to the gym. I'm not putting anything else in that time. I'm not taking that away from myself. That's my 1 hour on those 2 days to get my workout in. That helps too. You know, before you know it, it's just become a part of your routine. So I think in the beginning it's kind of hard if it's already not a part of your regular schedule because it's making new adjustments and things like that. But I just think if you're consistent with doing it, and even if you can't make it to the gym, and if you say, okay, well, I can't go today, but as soon as I get home, I'm going to commit 20 minutes to doing, you know, some push-ups, some crunches, some jumping jacks, and, you know, holding, you know, a plank 3 or 4 times, just even creating your own at-home workout and at least being able to say, okay,
right.
well, I did something during the time when I was supposed to. And, you know, before
well, see,
you know it, you get
yeah. –
mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to say, and then before you know it, you have created this schedule that you're now used to in some way.
Well, see, that's what I have started doing, stuff at the house, like little workouts. But it essentially seemed like in a nice way, you told me stop being the punk and just get my butt
no.
up and go on to the gym. That would have felt like you told me in a nice way, you being soft, get up and go to that gym.
In general, that's what we can all do. In general.
Dang. No, that's how you do it skillfully? No. All right, so you also talked about different body types. And through the media, everybody seems like they want the same body type, but not necessarily the same. I know the black community's body type, the one they desire is a bit different from the white communities and things. But we all know across the board, and I know we've talked about this before, but everybody wants abs.
Yes.
How do you get abs? Please just tell us. Go ahead and get into it. How you get abs?
Yes. So in order to see your abs, you know, of course you get them through, you know, the abdominal workouts and everything like that. But you can In order to be able to see the abs that you have to do
right.
cardio to make sure that you are, you know, shedding any excess weight that you have. So you could do all the crunches that you want to do and everything, and you could very well have a wonderful six-pack there because your core is strong. But in order to see them, which is normally what most people want, and I think that's probably, well, you know, why I said that. Most people want to see the abs and see the core muscles, and in order to see it, you have to make sure that you shed, again, the excess body fat that's there in order for them to become visible. So through doing, you know, a healthy amount of cardio throughout the week and your diet as well. Diet is huge in being able to, you know, see your abs and have them develop and stuff like that. So you have to make sure that you are, you know, eating healthy food items, not eating a lot of carbs and, you know, sugar and things like that, or eating very heavy meals late at night, or just heavy meals in general, and then not being active, you know, to utilize that excess energy and those calories. Making sure that you drink a lot of water, eating a lot of, you know, leafy green vegetables and fruit and things like that. Eating breakfast, you know, eating first thing in the morning is very important for boosting your metabolism. So when you get the metabolism started for the day, and, you know, you continue to eat consistently throughout the day, your metabolism is working. And in turn, you'll find that your body burns fat at a faster rate than if you were to eat one or two meals throughout the day, which is, you know, not conducive to trying to lose weight or see your abdominal muscles. And then weight training as well. You know, muscle burns more calories than fat does. So as you develop and maintain the muscle on your body, your metabolism, again, will go up in speed, and that will help for you to burn fat. You know, your body's working throughout the day. The muscles are working to maintain themselves, and you're eating the right foods to maintain your muscle, and, you know, just all works together, and you'll see that fat sheds off your body at a faster rate when you do that as well.
That's what's up. I hope y'all listening. You got to eat your way to abs.
Yes.
Can't just go in the gym and do your 10 sit-ups and look and go take pictures. You know, so we got, you know, we're in the day and age where you got more people in the gym taking pictures than working out. So.
Yes.
Back in my day, you ain't had no cell phones. You had to work out. Just look in the mirror. That's it.
Yeah. If you're going to take a picture, take a quick one. Keep it going. Come back, take a picture. Keep it going.
10 minutes. So. 10 minutes. All right. So while we're talking about personal trainer and trainings and things, why, in your opinion, why is a personal trainer needed? And what's the most important role the personal trainer plays in the relationship with the client?
Well, I would say that, you know, it may not be needed by everybody. You know, there are certainly some people who either, you know, are very interested in learning new things on their own and are self, you know, very, very self-motivated in terms of, oh, I'm going to implement this whole new workout, or I'm going to try this style of fitness, or whatever the case is. And there are some people who know that they prefer, you know, maybe group fitness, or they prefer working out at home. So, of course, it definitely comes down to preference in terms of what helps for you to stay consistent with your wellness and, you know, your fitness goals. But I would say for those who are interested in a personal trainer and or are considering one, I think it helps on the end of, and this is also coming from experience with what clients have mentioned to me, it helps with the consistency, with someone holding you accountable, with someone, you know, really pushing you to do more than what you think you're capable of doing, and with also making, you know, educating you on the right way to attain your goals. You know, you a client may have lost, you know, 15 pounds, but their goal is to lose 20, and they just don't know why they lost 5. And, you know, a trainer for 1 or 2 months, you know, whatever the case, the trainer could help them, may have been doing wrong that has prevented them from losing those final 5 pounds, you know. So I think it's very beneficial for someone who knows that they might need a little extra push with getting to where they're trying to go. And I think, you know, a trainer's job, again, just as you said earlier, it's not just to make your client look good. It's not just to be able to say, hey, look at her. She looks, you know, she looks great in a swimsuit because of me. Like, you know, that's cool as a trainer to be able to brag and know that your expertise helps someone, but it's more than that. And I think you have to be willing to be more than that for your client as well. You have to be willing to be a listening ear at times, to be a coach, to be a teacher, to be a friend, you know, because during that 45 minutes or 1 hour when you're with someone, you're not just standing there in silence while they exercise. This person is letting you into their world, and they are trusting you with their, you know, their fitness goals and with their body at that time as you lead them through exercises, and they're trusting you with information that they may have been too vulnerable to share with other people, but right. Now they feel comfortable because it goes along with their wellness goals, and they have to tell someone, you know. So you want to be all those things to your client, and I think when you develop that, you know, that relationship, and if you feel okay with being able to offer that to clients, that it helps for you to see better results because you know that you can really, you know, open up with your client and share the information that they need to hear and have them trust you with what you're sharing with them.
That's what's up. Now, I think that's important to know because I'm really big on people being knowledgeable about who they allow to train them. And I'm not trying to be cocky, but I don't necessarily need a personal trainer. My uncle taught me how to work out. Like I've literally been working out since I was like 5. So my uncle initially taught me. And then when I got to high school, you know, playing football, having to work out, being on a weightlifting team, and then continuing the exercises through college. Like now, I'm still learning my work life balance. I haven't been working out like I'm supposed to, but I'm just so big on people picking the right person to train them so they won't hurt themselves. And because you can scar yourself permanently trying to look good, and you won't even really understand it. And it's your trainer's fault because your trainer was too busy trying to be popular rather than being a good trainer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You definitely, you know, and I would, you know, so you said some really good things. So when someone is looking to select a personal trainer, of course you want it to be someone that you'll, you know, feel comfortable working with, you know, whether it be a man or a woman. And, you know, you want to look at age range and stuff like that. You might want someone who's closer to you in age. You might want someone who is a little bit older, a little young, you know, whatever the case is, just knowing, you know, what type of person you'll feel good working with. And then, you know, definitely looking at what their expertise or their specialty is, or what their background is in. You know, are they someone who's very sports specific? Is it someone who focuses on prenatal postpartum fitness? Is it someone who's really big into, you know, small group type of training, you know, like mini boot camps or cardio kickboxing classes and yoga classes? You know, every trainer, you know, over time, I think we're able to develop, you know, or kind of figure out what our niche is and what type of training style we have. And that's something that will help for you to attract the right type of client. So on the other end, as a prospective client, you want to find a trainer who is going to be well-suited for you and someone who you feel is knowledgeable in the areas you're trying to work on. So that's really, really important to look at from both both ends, you know?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. So before we get to the point where we start wrap this up, because I want to keep you all day. We can talk, right? So you have a Total Body Sculpt DVD that you put together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your DVD so we can get your DVD and where we can buy it and all about it and how much sweat we're going to have when we get the DVD.
Okay. So, yes, I do. I did recently create the Total Body Sculpt DVD, which is we haven't fully released it yet. Right now, it's just for pre-order, and we're getting ready to really promote it more and things like that. But, you know, listeners here will get a glimpse as to where to find it and everything like that. So the Total Body Sculpt DVD is, as it is titled, is a total body workout that focuses on, you know, creating a sculpting effect on the body. So basically more toning and definition and incorporating resistance training and cardio, blending those two things together so that you can, shape your body and see the muscular tone that many people are normally going for. So it's about 40 minutes or so, not a full hour, nothing too crazy. So 40 minutes of working out where we use little equipment, not a whole lot, just so it can also be something that's attainable for viewers who may not have a lot of exercise equipment yet. And we take the of those who are watching are able to go through a workout that's going to hit all areas of the body by pairing resistance training exercises and cardio moves for timed periods throughout the routine. Those who watch it will be able to go through that. And it's, you know, just something that individuals can do regularly to get their bodies used to more movement. You know, it's something that they can use as a starting point, or whether it be something they can incorporate regularly that they can do in their house, and it doesn't require a lot of equipment, again, and they'll be able to tackle the entire body and then modify the exercises as need be. If you want to make them harder or easier, that's doable based on what was included. So, for orders of the DVD, it is available on the web, on the personal training website, or on the Skillfully Sculpted website, I should say, which is skillfullysculpted.com, and you're able to purchase a digital copy or a digital download. So if you purchase that, it gets downloaded right onto your computer or your phone or wherever. And we're also going to be selling deep, actual physical DVDs of it as well, and those will be available for pre-order as well. And it's $7 for the digital version, and it will be $12 for the physical DVD. And again, it's on skillfullysculpted.com. And I'm really excited to have that now. I was doing a fitness DVD. It was something I wanted to do since I was in middle school. It always looked so much fun to me, and I knew that I wanted to eventually have my own fitness DVD. So it's a really, really good feeling to now have an actual product that I can offer to those who are interested. So I'm really excited about that.
That's what's up. Y'all go get the DVD when it's ready, man. What's the website again?
It is www.skillfullysculpted.com. So skillfully is spelled out all the way, and sculpted is spelled out all the way.
All righty then. So come down to our last question. And this we're going to do this in honor of Patrick because, you know, Patrick, he's special. So we said it's usually his question, so we're going to do it like this. So in honor of Patrick. So if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
I would find a way to replace the stories and the images, you know, in the present day, and I'm thinking of the stories and the images and the things like that are, circulated so heavily right now, and the types of things that we hear, the messages in music and things like that, and through TV shows. I would want to find a way to change all of that in one day, like kind of flip everything to go from the negativity that we constantly see and hear and replace it with the positivity and the truth about who we are, you know, have those images and things like that replaced. And I would want my message to all Black people to be that if we make the constant effort to continue to focus in on who we are, what it is that, you know, that you as an individual, what is it that you have to offer? What is it that you are drawn to? What is it that you're good at? You know, what is it that you know you can offer to others, and how can you create your own off of that? You know, if you know you know how to paint, how can you paint more, and how can you create something off of that? Are you going to paint, are you going to go out and paint things for people? Are you going to create an art gallery? And, you know, and if you choose to go that route, how can you then use that to help other black people. You know, so whatever it is, your talent, your gift, your knowledge, your expertise is, how can you, or just not how can you, but the message would be whatever it is that you have, continue to work on that every single day and know that if you are so invested in becoming a better person and being able to offer something greater to those around you, you are going to see how that directly affects the improvements of your community, the improvements of your family, the improvements of, you know, whomever it is that's around you. And if we all do that and if we all are reminded of that, collectively we become better. Collectively we're able to work better together and build more that's just going to keep giving and giving to our communities. So that's what I would want my message to be. It's easy for us to get distracted by things that are told to us and ideas and beliefs that are supposed to be what we carry for our own selves. And again, oftentimes all of those things are negative. But if we replace that and then remind ourselves that we don't have to subscribe to all of that, we have everything we need to become better together and focus on that continuously, we'll get to where we're trying to go. And that's what I would want my message to be.
Hey, there you go. I got my fist in the air. As you're talking like that, I got my fist in the air. That's what's up. So, I'm going to the gym tonight since you told me to stop being soft and get to the gym. So I'm going to have to make sure I hit the gym tonight. Oh, yeah, you got an event coming up with the Black Panther team. Tell us about it.
Yes. So that event, that is being coordinated by our creative director, Tiffany Hill. And she is doing that through her company, A Walking Brand, but Athea Magazine we are able to be a part of it. So basically what Tiffany has, she has an event called, again, Diva's Day Out that she does. This will be the third Diva's Day Out, and she has a day's worth of events where there are different activities and things of that nature included in the event. So we might go and do something like something pampering, like get our hair and our nails done. We might go to a particular historic place in town. We might go to some type of location and do like a group activity that's also fun. Like the last time she did something, she went to something called the Escape Room, which is where you guys are in a location as a group and you have to work together to get out of that space and things like that. So she finds all these different things to do and puts together these different events. And at the end of the event, we finish off with a movie. So this particular one is coming up this Saturday, February 17th, and it's centered around the Black Panther film, which will be coming out, which we all know about. So throughout the day, she'll be visiting some different historical sites in Tallahassee that have African-American history attached to it and sharing more about that, visiting some different locations in town, like the FAMU archives and things of that nature, having an event with vendors and different businesses who come out and, purchase different items. She's having a fashion show and featuring a local designer, Kumba Creations, and she makes African-inspired fashion wear. And then at the end of the night, again, we'll be going to see the Black Panther. And Athea Magazine will be one of the red carpet hostesses at the event. It's a red carpet private viewing of the magazine, or excuse me, of the movie. So we'll be able to do some interviews on the red carpet as guests attend or arrive for the movie. So we're excited to be a part of that this upcoming Saturday.
That's what's up. And can you give us your social media handles and your contact information and your websites once again?
Yes. So again, for fitness training and health information, it's www.skillfullysculpted.com. And that's SKILLFULLYSCULPTED, skillfullysculpted.com. For the magazine, that is AtheaMagazine.com, and Athea is spelled AFIYA, AtheaMagazine.com. On Instagram, it is Athea_magazine, everything spelled out. And on Facebook, it is AtheaMagazine. And for Skillfully Sculpted on Facebook is just that, Skillfully Sculpted. And then I'm on both Facebook and Instagram as Rashida A. Marshall.
That's what's up. Thank you once again for giving up the time to coming on the Freedom Train and telling us about yourself, Field Magazine, Skillfully Sculpted, and everything that you do, giving us your information and your perspectives on exercise and fitness and proper fitness and proper training so our people can move forward into the future and be healthy, sexy, and free.
Yes. And thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right, no problem. No problem, man. You know, as always, you're always welcome back on the train to keep doing your thing.
Thank you. You too.
Yes, ma'am. So I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. You have a good day.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop. Rashida Marshall of Fear Magazine and Skillfully Sculpted. Make sure y'all go check her out. Like she said, websites are Fear Magazine, AFIYAMAGAZINE.com, and then Skillfully Sculpted, SKILLFULLYSCULPTED.com, SkillfullySculpted.com, FearMagazine.com. That way you can learn more about Rashida Marshall and her pursuits and how to get healthy and how to be down. So, you know, it's the Freedom Train podcast series, man. We're trying to make sure that we expose you all to the movers and shakers in our community who are making things happen, who are not just sitting back waiting on somebody to do something for them. They're doing it for themselves, right? Hey, man, think about the last 3 weeks, the couple interviews, man, our interviews been busting. Shout out to all our guests, all the live guests we've had. Our interviews been busting, right? Because I guess be bussing. I guess the live. So shout out to all our guests who come through and put it down on the Freedom Train podcast series. Hey, man, I'm Joseph Ward. Shout out to Patrick Irvin and Jamie. Hey, I had to hold it down, and I think I did a pretty good job. Thank you, Rashida, for coming through Freedom Train podcast series. Two in the air. Peace. Thank you.